Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Today, this is Deep Talk on Health. Say little and mean much. Go real deep. Words that we use all the time, that topically make sense, that you nod your head to, that you understand. But as the decades go by, if things are going as they should, the words mean more and more and more. This is show 111. I've broadcast now over 2 years. It's in the third year. I'm always talking about Rolf, Ida Rolf, Wilhelm Reich, the rule of four. Different concepts that I try to give to you. And then if you're grasping it, if you're functionally applying some of these concepts, your perception of health is changing into something more dynamic. Today I'm going to make another claim, and it's a claim that the future will bear true. It's a claim that the past has already borne true, but I think the general public has overlooked it because it's running a little deeper than the amount of energy we want to give it, so we're overlooking its essential profoundness. I'm going to make a statement that health is when you peel your muscle off your bones. Yes, you. You sitting there in the audience today with your symptom, with your chronic ache and pain, with your disease, your diagnosis, that which may be leaving you out of a job, leaving you feeling betrayed, leaving you miserable, living psychologically defunct, perhaps. Diagnoses, pharmaceutical drugs, so on and so forth. I'm going to say something to you, that your health is found as you peel your muscle off your bone. Now that, of course, topically is nonsense, is it not? Who would ever make a claim like that? And yet, if you put a couple of pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together, and if you know anything about this show and the theme of it, it's health is a puzzle that you have to piece together for you, and that whoever you call your doctor, your counselor, your health therapist, the person that you share your ache and pain with, they have to look at it, as do you, like a jigsaw puzzle. One of the drivers, one of the fundamental concepts I want to lend to you today, deepen your understanding of, is health, your cure. Your body's ability to assimilate a cure is found when you can peel your muscles off your bones. The last 150 years of science has offered us from time to time these insights, and yet we've lost them. We've grasped them, and we've lost them. First man was Freud, Sigmund Freud. So let's go back 115, 120 years ago. Before even 1900, Freud practiced as a neurologist in Vienna, in Europe. You didn't go to a psychoanalyst or a psychologist back then. The notion that emotion could cause disease. Now, no one would argue that today. Today, we're sophisticated. We've got more insight. We've evolved a bit. No one would argue that at the root of much disease is emotion. Anxieties, paranoias, all sorts of intense emotional pains, guilts, shames, angers, fears, worries. No one would argue that at the root of many a symptom, at the root of much disease, is unabated negative emotion. Well, in 1850, 1860, 1870, the highest universities, the highest academic amalgams of knowledge in the world, from Europe to Russia to the United States, nobody talked about that. It really wasn't until much, much later, even in America, that anybody talked of that. You couldn't say, doctor, my cancer at the root has a psycho-emotional base. You couldn't say my back pain at the root has a psycho-emotional base. And yet there was Sigmund Freud in the late 1800s, at the turn of the century, who found a female whose hand was paralyzed. She couldn't use her arm. This story would soon become the beginning of modern-day psychoanalysis. This young woman could not use her arm. And Freud, as a neurologist, was puzzled because they couldn't pin it on anything that they knew or understood at the time. They didn't actually think the woman fell into any diagnostic category. She didn't have a stroke. She didn't have an infection. There was nothing they could pin it on. And Freud, like all great genius, had his moment of inspiration and followed it and didn't let his profession and all the limitations of society quell his curiosity. He followed his gut into a dialogue, an increasingly exploratory dialogue, a language with the woman, as casual as any conversation, but with intention. And sure enough, Freud saw this woman heal her paralysis through nothing more than talk. Talk. Mere talk. And Freud asked himself why, and that was the birth of modern-day psychoanalysis. Freud went on to study the psyche and the tensions in the body that come from the mind, and laid down some of the most foundational, still surviving, still sustaining us in our understanding of human behavior today, the stages. The oral stage, the anal stage, the Oedipal stage, the post-Oedipal stage. The concept that when the sperm meets the egg and the embryo begins to grow, that once it's born, its attachment to the mother's breast, its attachment through its childhood potty training, its evolution from the mouth to the anus as it connects to its sphincters, as it learns to control them and to gratify itself through them, all funneling then to that phase that all parents remember, where that baby looks into its mother's eyes, and that mother looks into its baby's eyes, and that baby looks into its father's eyes, and that father looks into its baby's eyes, and the three feel bliss, united bliss, in the glory of God. And Freud was saying, if that's correctly evolved from the time the sperm meets the egg, if that's correctly evolved, you've given your child the foundations of health. Only required then one more step, the point at which the child has to go into the post-Oedipal stage. But Freud is laying this down at the turn of the century into the 1920s. This is, to some people, heresy. This is nonsense. This is absurd. Freud is a neurologist. Freud is a medical doctor from the highest centers of learning in Europe. And yet this is what he's saying. This is his passion, and he will stick by it. That post-Oedipal stage, the one remaining stage where the child then at some point begins to break away from the parents as it forms a healthy ego, developed and founded upon all that love, in those particular stages. At one point, the child breaks away and begins to evolve off on its own to find out who it is after it's been given this wonderful foundation. That, in a nutshell, is Freudian theory. And all the different behavioral mayhems, from schizophrenia to obsessive compulsive disorders, to manic depression, to ADD, to bipolar, to sociopathic, all of them, all the different definitions of aberration of behavior that psychology would lay down, that psychiatry would lay down, sat on the back of basic Freudian theory. This show is not about Freud. This show is not so much about the psyche. This show is about you. If you have a symptom, if you have a disease, if you have something chronic that you can't get away from, that you can't get rid of, the perspective here is that there's some psyche trapped in you that you may be aware of or not aware of, and yet you don't know how to get to it. Well, psychology, evolving at its time, created a format for this, and we're all familiar with it today, of course. You walk in, you sit down, whether you're talking to a psychiatrist who's a medical doctor or a psychologist who's not a medical doctor, but they take their doctorate or master's degree in some form of counseling. Either way, you do the chit-chat. And whether that psychologist or psychiatrist is looking at you and you're looking at them, or they're looking out the window and you're sitting on a couch, whether you finish the session or series of sessions better or not, whether you're given drugs in the interim and then taken off them, or whether you're told you'll need these drugs for the rest of your life, this was in the realm of what began with Freud. And yet no one would argue it could certainly relate to your disease. Of course, you don't go to a psychologist and you don't go to a medical doctor and say, you know, my cancer is in my head and therefore can you help me? You see, you don't say that. It's an interesting parody. It's a quandrum. It's a dilemma for us all, because kicking back at the bar with a beer or over Christmas dinner, we would all agree that emotions cause disease. But what does that mean functionally? It doesn't mean functionally that if you've got a disease, if you've got a chronic symptom, that you talk to a psychologist or a psychiatrist about how their analysis is going to cure that problem. You see, we can't make that leap, and yet, on the other side, we're sure often that psyche contributes much to our problem. There's a dilemma. There's dilemma number one for us. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're not new to the show, please, I hope you're on the website. I've got a bunch of pictures here that you can see and go along with as I lay out the story today. That website, straighttalk.cc, straighttalk.cc, two T's, and then .cc, not .com. Get on the website. Look at the pictures. Follow the show with the pictures. We can learn so much more. So here's Freud, ultimately locked into the mind, locked, because he wouldn't go outside the mind. It took his protege, another man, and this is really where this story begins today. It's where the show begins. It begins with Reich, Wilhelm Reich. If you're looking at the website, you can see some of Reich's pictures. Picture number 20, number 21, number 22, number 23. Pictures of Wilhelm Reich. Just go into the radio reference section and click the radio literature section. That's a tab at the top. You'll see radio literature. And just press that on today's show, and you'll see the pictures. Picture 20, 21. Pictures of Wilhelm Reich, the infamous Reich. Reich is a psychiatrist. He's on scholarship to the University of Vienna, the medical school there. He's young, brilliant, charismatic, and he understands Freud very deeply. And yet, you'll make yourself very happy if you go to picture number 9 on the website. That's picture number 13. Picture number 13 on the website. If you go to picture number 13 on the website, you're going to read about Reich's development in a nutshell. So Reich is the protege of Freud. Freud is making a claim that if we really carry it logically, it's so important to you, the listener, today. Freud is saying that the very birth of psychoanalysis was an organic disease, a problem, paralysis. And yet it was nothing more than a woman's mind, and that Freud proved that. Well, we've gone far away because, lo and behold, you don't go to a psychoanalyst for your cancer. You don't go for that thyroid surgery. You don't go when you have to have back surgery. The model, the Freudian model, in a sense, died before it started. So here's Reich. Again, picture 13 on the site. It's from a book that I list as my last book, picture number 23, The Unhealed Healer. That's the book that picture 13 comes out of. Get that book. Read that book. I endorse that book. Reich's Intellectual Development. You read it on your own. In a nutshell, it's basically saying Reich watches Freud, his mentor, and says, you know, all this mind stuff is one thing, but I'm starting to think that this psyche that you're trying to address is trapped in the body. That it's trapped in the body. Now, this was the genius of Reich. Again, in Europe, this is a novel idea. In America, at this point, in America, we might as well be living in the cave. America is essentially settling into the deep meaning of democracy. In itself, its own miracle. No one in America has really got a lot of time to think on these levels. But in Europe, at this point, this is the teens. This is before World War I. This is during World War I. There's this intelligentsia in medicine that's evolving this notion that, yes, disease is trapped in the mind, but more than that, it's trapped in the body. That is what Reich is trying to say. Reich writes his book, Character Analysis. I list it there. Character Analysis, the front cover of one of Reich's early writings, basically saying that your psyche that creates the disease lives in your body. And if you go on to read just that page, Reich begins to develop therapies that get underneath that character armor, the muscular armor to the disease. So you have acid reflux. You have low back pain. You have irritable bowel syndrome. How many cases of irritable bowel syndrome, of Crohn's disease, are so deeply rooted in the mind of the person? The gut, the digestive system. Why are we talking about supplements? Why are we even talking about food? Why are we talking about anything? IBS, the number two reason each day in America people stay home from work. If there's anything more obviously related to a disgruntled mind, to an anxiety that's not been abated, that hasn't been resolved, it's irritable bowel syndrome. An autoimmune disease from lupus to scleroderma to ankylosing spondylitis. Why aren't we nailing this? What are we even giving nutritional therapy for these things? There's some empty gap here in the union of medicine. Listen to me today. You have to understand how to integrate truly to understand how to weave your way out of some of these serious illnesses. They do go into remission. They do cure. Do not listen to naysayers. Things really do happen. But you've got to put it together like the jigsaw puzzle. So listen to Reich at the turn of the century saying that the psyche that Freud was after, that Freud knew as a neurologist could create disease, that he proved could create disease, paralysis. Reich is saying it's trapped in the body. So Reich begins to develop techniques. He begins to evolve techniques to go to the body, touch therapies. He took his scholarship. He took his legion as a medical doctor and touched people. Yes, he did massage therapy. Do you know the baffling reality and I mean baffling in the deepest sense of the word, is today Reichian therapists are usually massage therapists. Reich's words ultimately fell on deaf ears. Certainly not his colleagues. Reich was a psychiatrist, a brilliant psychiatrist. When was the last time your shrink told you, look, we're going to skip the Prozac or the Wellbutrin or the lithium, and we're simply going to do massage therapy? When was the last time your shrink told you that? Whatever happened to psychoanalysis? How has psychiatry gone from psychoanalysis to touch therapy to nothing more than Prozac? Think about that. And then think about the diseases and symptoms from that surgery you had on your neck to your low back to your gallbladder to your thyroid to having your ovaries taken out to your cancers to your autoimmune diseases, and ask yourself why you're not talking to your doctor about that. Ask yourself why your doctor would think you were crazy if you were to say, look, my ovarian cancer came from my mind. What are we going to do about it? They'd send you to a shrink just because you asked the question. You'd be locked up if you pursued that. You would be told you're crazy. And yet the roots of these traditions were all about this. This is why you have to get educated. This is why I run a school. This is why you're so wise if you see it this way. Otherwise, you drank the Kool-Aid and you get the short end of the stick. And many of us are getting the short end of the stick. But it's just a choice. So there's Reich probing and strobing and peeling the body. Except there's a problem. And I'll get to it in a moment. Reich made a lot of mistakes because he didn't understand some basic foundational principles about peeling a body. Reich knew it was in the body. Reich knew disease lived in the body. Psychic-based disease lived in the body. Reich understood that. He took it all the way to the biology of cancer. He took it all the way, if you read about Reich. He took it all the way to the development of different technologies to treat cancer. And this, of course, is where he got himself into trouble, because cancer was about drugs. Cancer was to be treated surgically and with drugs. A biological understanding of cancer, of autoimmune disease, that was too far ahead of itself and still is today. But Reich took it from that your psyche's in your body to your diseases in your body, and then addressed it biophysically. He addressed it with technology. But this is the problem that Reich had. Reich didn't know how to get into the body. This is the fascinating thing. Tandem to Reich is Rolf. At the same time in America, while Reich is pursuing his agenda in Europe, blowing over, of course, to the intelligentsia of America, is Rolf, Ida Rolf. Look at picture 1, 2, and 3. I'm psyched. I got the goose pimples. Do you have the goose pimples? Look at those pictures. Ida Rolf. Picture 1, 2, 3. Now look at picture 4 and 5. If you're not following me on the computer, please make the big leap. It will enrich your life. Make the big leap to the computer. Look at pictures 4 and 5. You don't have the computer. Pictures 4 and 5 are people with the most inestimably crooked spines, crooked postures. Pictures of people from the side view, slouched shoulders, anterior head carriage, a sloped pelvis, gravity lines moving in the wrong directions, sure to become knee replacements, joint replacements. That's right, I was just on Reich, now I'm on Rolf. Rolf is taking these bodies. Look at picture number 4. Look at picture number 5. Imagine taking somebody almost like Quasimodo, almost like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and aligning that body, leaving that body over a period of 10, 20, 30 sessions, completely transformed. Think of the genius behind that. The absolute inestimable genius. Freud Reich Rolf. Get on it. Wake up. Go for it. Shift the way you're thinking about your symptomology. There's a beast in you. There's a negative emotion. You may internalize. You may have internalized from the time you were a child. And now at 50 years old, that internalization has turned your nervous system against yourself. You may be externalizing a temper tantrum that began when you were 3 years old. And you're having that temper tantrum every single day. Externally, letting everybody know it and giving yourself heart disease. You may be sociopathic. You may be schizophrenic. You may be bipolar. You may be manic depressive. One day you feel God, and the next day you feel like you're living in hell. What Reich was saying is that those patterns are trapped in your body. Tandem to that, not communicating with that, Rolf came along and said, let me change your body. And she did. Rolfing did. If you look at picture 4, picture 5, you're looking at people whose postures were abhorrent. They were horrid. And look at those shifts. Those are miraculous. I've seen those shifts. I've participated in those shifts. I've done those shifts. I've supervised those shifts. Lots of different facets of bodywork, therapeutic bodywork, understand how to change posture. And in that posture is the psyche. Rolf understood that. Rolf was a PhD in chemistry. Oddly enough, the same posture, Rolf grew to shift. The same paradigm that structure determines function, that the anatomy determines the physiology, that an abhorrent, that a crooked anatomy made a crooked physiology, that if the gravity lines are off in your body from head to toe, it'll shut off your cell. It'll distort your nervous system. It'll block the electrical flow to your organs and therefore to your cells. It'll make the cells live in a structural deficit that will force the cell to adapt. And that's the beginning of the symptom or the beginning of the disease. And that's medicine. That's really the medicine that you deserve. So along comes Rolf. She doesn't correspond with Reich. Reich doesn't correspond with Rolf. Reich knows that disease in the mind is in the body. And Rolf knows how to change the body, but the two never hook up. The two never hook up. They almost had perfection. They almost had a comprehensive model. But Western man was in its evolution. And it cost Rolf. And it cost Reich. And it cost Freud. Freud took more on than he could handle. Doctors do. Freud was a cocaine addict. Freud suffered. Reich died in jail of a heart attack on some trumped up charge about treating cancer with unorthodox methods. Orthodox being chemotherapy. AKA, incidentally, Rolf, Ida Rolf, pioneered chemotherapy. Check that one out. Look at picture number 8. That's the back page to Rolfing in Physical Reality. If you can read that, the print's a little small. Rolf was a grad student and was hired by the Rockefeller Institute in New York City to pioneer chemotherapy. This is before she was a Rolfer. Oddly enough, Reich would die. Reich would die in jail for treating cancer with unorthodox methods when the orthodoxy said to treat it with chemo. In the meantime, Gerson, I'm really swaying, but let's go. Gerson is thrown out of the United States, bringing over 300 people who he had cured terminal cancer with. He's thrown out of the United States for using nutrition to treat cancer. This is one crooked story. This is the way we are. As Christians, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But that's not a small order when good people perish, when people suffer. I see them suffer all the time for years. So spread this around. I know you do. Get people to this website. Let them pay the $24 for the archives. At what is it, 10 cents a show? Is this show worth 10 cents to you? There's no show like this. Tell your friends. Get the word out. Just get them to the archives. So Reich dies in jail, a heart attack. Rolf stops short. Not that this is stopping short. She changes postures like that. But she has a page. I want you to catch this page. I put it there for a reason. It was page number... Sorry about this with these pages today. Rolf talks about, in page number 12... Page number 12 on the website, Rolf says, look, change a person's structure, change their posture, but don't go much beyond that, because if you do, you open up Pandora's box. And she didn't recommend that. She ends this paragraph, you can read it on your own, with 10 hours of Rolfing. People get to a level which is comfortable, meaning as you shift the posture, the structural stress dissolves. Your neck and your back and your knees and your hips feel better. They feel freer. But Rolf cautions. She says, don't encourage a lot of people to go much further than 10, 20 sessions. She says, so much work doesn't lead to everlasting glory. She says, with 10 hours, people get to a level which is comfortable, and that offers them much more opportunity for creative work. And then she says, she cautions, with much more than that, you're opening Pandora's box. Rolf says that if you carry Rolfing to a certain point, you open Pandora's box. You tell me, for that free bottle of Caro, aloe, and vitamin D, you tell me what she means by Pandora's box. First two people to get that answer get the prize. What does Rolf mean? Look at those pictures, picture 4 and picture 5. Think of your own posture. Take a picture of your own posture. Get out your iPhones, your Androids, and take a picture of you from the side, vice versa, your loved one. And look at what Rolf is doing. But she's saying at the end of that, as you approach the shift in structure, you begin to open Pandora's box. What does that mean? I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to give it away. This is where Reich steps in. This is where Reich steps in. Reich steps in and he says, I'm going to start where Rolf left off because I'm going to go after disease. He says, I'm a medical doctor and I'm going to go after disease. And I know that disease fundamentally is about an imbalance in the electromagnetic field. All the voodoo, all what people call voodoo. He's basically saying it's about static in the meridians. You realize, of course, within the next 50 years, we're going to have technologies that define the electromagnetic field that some say we already have. But we'll forget that lame debate. There's always some secret machine circulating around that can prove all these electromagnetic theories. And the downside is so often these are scandalous, nonsensical, well-intentioned hopes and dreams of people that needed to learn a little more physics. But mark my words, mark the words of many. Over the next 50 years, we'll have machines that can measure you electromagnetically that will just be part of mainstream medicine. And we'll use those machines to recreate your genetics. If things go well for you, if things go well for us, if things go well for holistic organic medicine, if things go well for perception of medicine, and it asks you to take your soul and have it inhabit your healing, that don't divorce your sensibilities, the intelligence of your inner being, that don't divorce that intelligence from your healing. If things go well for us, we'll have technologies that will bring your consciousness into alignment. And the cell will figure out how to repair itself. And we'll have machines and technologies to measure the efficacy of that process. That truly is if things go well. There's good and there's evil. That's not news to you. It's not news to me. So here we have Rolf saying, don't go further than change the structure. Perhaps she wasn't prepared to do that. Reich was prepared to do that. Certainly he was prepared to do that, except he didn't understand something. He didn't understand what Rolf understood, and that was how to manipulate the fascia. How to manipulate the fascia. Interesting to me, two of the greatest medical paradigms of the century, and because one didn't communicate with the other, one didn't meet the other, one didn't integrate within the other, both limited each other. Then again, both of them inspired other generations. Their work laid the foundation for you to understand this show. What Rolf understood, what Reich did not understand, is fascia. Fascia, picture 10. Fascia, picture 11. Fascia, picture 14. Picture 15. Picture 16. Picture 17. Picture 18. Fascia, fascia, and fascia. Under your skin is fascia. Look at picture number 10 and 11. Picture 10, between your muscle fibers, is fascia. Organs connect to organs with fascia. Organs are held in space in your abdominal cavity and don't drop out the bottom because fascia holds them in place. Fascia holds organs to organs. Fascia holds organs to the spine. And unless that fascia is stretched, unless it's manipulated, unless it's cross-fibered, unless it's lengthened, your cells die in tangles of fascia. That's Rolfing. Those pictures where you see people changing their postures only occur because the fascia is cross-fibered out so the muscles can lengthen, so that the joints, the bones, can start to assume their normal position. The body knows health. The body knows health. The premise, whether you're talking about Freud, or you're talking about Reich, or you're talking about Rolf, the premise is that if you just kick the body into the right track, the body will remember what health is. That's where God lives, in that awareness. To make prayer functional, take it to your body. To make prayer functional, to make the prayers you pray functional, go out and do good. No one would argue that. As it applies to medicine, find God in your body. Enhance its function. Enhance your consciousness or your connection to all the bliss that your body's capable of producing. Don't distort it or annul it or exclude it or think that healing can be healing without it. That's the Kool-Aid. Don't drink it. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. You should all be on the website looking at the pictures. Pictures worth 1,000 words. We all agree we're doing better with the pictures. Eventually, when there's enough time, we'll try some of the videos. But right now, the pictures say a whole lot. So there's Rolf, and she's understanding how to manipulate the adhesions in the show. As fascia distorts to chemicals, as fascia distorts to negative thoughts, as fascia distorts because you don't stretch your muscles, as fascia distorts because of physical scars and physical traumas, as the fascia distorts to all of these variables, you are left electromagnetically depressed and suppressed. Electromagnetically depressed and electromagnetically suppressed. This begins even when the sperm meets the egg. When the sperm meets the egg and the child is being evolved in utero to thoughts of the mother about abortion, to thoughts of the mother about she didn't really want it, to thoughts of the mother about how she really did this with the wrong man, to thoughts of the father about how am I going to pay for this, and then the projections onto the mother. Even in utero, that child is picking up every single vibration. It's absorbable. And it's soma, it's tissues. We don't speak of the embryo as mind, do we? We don't say that it has a vocabulary, but it has an intelligence. It has an electrical field. It has a soul, certainly. And in a sense, it has a consciousness. It will absorb what it develops in. No one will argue that. Now, wouldn't you think that its cells, its connective tissues, its densities, its physical being is contorting, is twisting? Well, that's what we're saying. We're saying that the fascia, this web that connects everything to everything, this web of connection is being distorted, even in utero. Year one, year two, year three, year four, year five. The chemistry of the blood. The baby's not breastfed. The baby sucks up its mother's toxins. The baby grows up in polluted environments. The baby's not loved. The baby's loved too much. The father leaves the mother. The mother leaves the father. The fascia distorts. The fascia distorts to psyche. The fascia distorts to blood chemistry. The baby falls on its head. The baby's head is locked as it comes down the vaginal canal. The baby's spinal cord, it's umbilical cord is wrapped around its neck. It does emergency cesarean. The baby's labor is 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 hours. The baby is scarred physically. The baby is scarred psychologically. The baby is scarred chemically. And so on and so forth. The child sits in front of a computer. It's on its iPhone, it's on its iPad, it's on its computer, it's playing with its video games. It does well at school, but it doesn't know where its feet are. It doesn't play sports. It doesn't excel, it doesn't develop coordination, it develops no sense of body. And we're surprised that chronic disease skyrockets. And we're surprised. While we're being told we just live longer, we live longer even though we're still dead. The statistics say we live longer. Perhaps we're just pumped up on drugs and really we're the living dead after 70. Perhaps that's where this is going. Every year the statistics show that we live longer, but are we living better? We're making the heart pump and the brain function. Clinically, we're alive. Spiritually, we might be dead. This could be. It could be our future. So there's that child in utero. And that child is revolving its axis of health, its electromagnetic integrity, its electromagnetic patency, the flow, is determined by its blood chemistry, by its psyche, by the physical scars from physical traumas, by its biomechanics, by its structure. That should sound familiar. For another bottle of Carl, I'm going to offer another gift today. Somebody get on the comments and tell me how I encapsulate those four variables. What do I call them? First person that gets it gets the prize. Communicate with me. I want to know you're putting this together. This is so important for you. I live it. You learn it. Those four variables is what we're talking about manipulating through the fascia. We're talking about manipulating through the fascia, the scars. We're talking about shifting out the blood chemistry, shaking out the toxicity of the body, lengthening the muscles, purging the psyche. Till when? Till the crux of this show. Until we get to where the muscle meets the bone. And that's how you have to think about your health. You are a band, a ball of defensive armor, chemically aberrated, psychically distorted, biomechanically stunted, with adhesions in the fascia. And your symptom, your disease, your evolving problem is suffering under the dome, under the burden of those four variables. As you peel the body, as you cleanse the body, as you stretch the tendons, as you cross-fiber out the adhesions, as you liberate the psyche, you end up where the muscle meets the bone. When you go to the archives on this show, the title of today's show will be Where the Muscle Meets the Bone and what you have to do about that. You have to switch your perception of health to an unraveling within your soma until your muscles and tendons all separate to where the muscle meets the bone, where you can go in. Go ahead, do that now. Take your hands and wrap them and dig them into your arms. Dig them into your neck. Dig them into your legs. Dig them into your calf. Dig. And what most of you are going to find is that it hurts there. It hurts. It hurts physically to be poked. That's right. If you're sitting there right now, do that. Do that. Go across and touch the person you're with. And just gently but firmly press into different body parts. And your significant other is going to scream. And usually those screaming will be females. Which is a plus for you because it means you're connected at least to the fact that it hurts. The men, on the other hand, would be screaming just as much, but what they have learned to do through training is numb themselves to the pain. But internally, they're screaming just as much. And I'm being tongue-in-cheek, the men may hurt just as bad as the women. Either way, you'll hurt. Most of you will hurt. That's not normal. It's not healthy. It's not supposed to be that way. And it doesn't matter if it hurts in your arm, but you're up for low back surgery. It doesn't matter if it hurts in your leg, but you're developing Alzheimer's. It doesn't matter where it hurts. If it hurts, the body hurts. I assure you, the body hurts. That's what Rolf was saying. She was saying that in the fascia is the adhesion. In the adhesion, systemically, is the distortion of the whole magnetic field of the body. Rolf called Rolfing the bodywork of yoga. Rolf said, effectively, that Rolfing was derived from yoga. Yoga, of course, I would say, is synonymous with Qigong, with Tai Chi, with Kung Fu, with Pilates. But where the rubber meets the road is, does the structure change? So if you're complacent, not complacent, if you're content, because yes, you know, you do your Pilates. I'm asking you to consider that if your physical structure hasn't been altered, you're doing little, even though you're doing a lot. I don't want to criticize it. I don't want you to misunderstand. Look at the pictures, 4 and 5. Do that. Your structure should shift. Critical mass in all of these things. If you've been Rolfed and your physical structure didn't shift, you haven't been Rolfed. If you are an avid practitioner in yoga and your physical structure hasn't shifted, you're not doing yoga. If you're a Pilates advocate, and over the year, the second year, the third year, you're not seeing a physical shift in your structure, you're not doing Pilates. Those are not harsh words. Those are just words. They're words to ask you to use to measure the efficacy of the money you pay for these therapies. Shifting structure by working out the adhesions in the fascia. That's how Rolfing was born. Mind you, in that fascia, in that connective tissue, are horrible chemicals. The fascias are little living entities. The fibers are alive. The fascia harbors the micronerves. In the fascia are the microscopic nerves. The webs of connective tissue are interwoven with webs of neurological tissue. The nervous tissue and the fascia are one. So that as you clean the fascia, you open up the nerve tissue. Cleaning the fascia to open up the nerve tissue. How does one clean the fascia? That is why you cleanse. You cleanse to take the acids, the drugs, the chemicals, the normal chemicals of physiology, all lock up in the connective tissue. And the nerves in the connective tissue respond to the toxicities. So look at this place we call the fascia. And understand that there's layers. If you look at pictures 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, if you look at those layers, what you're going to understand is that the fascia is a layer, and then beneath it is a layer, and beneath that is a layer, and where the muscle meets the bone is where your cure is. Your cure, when the electromagnetic fields start to approach patency, is when the muscle will peel off the bone. I give you that today as a concept. We started the show on that premise. I've led you back to the basic concept that we have extremely credentialed people. Rolf was a biochemist. Reich was a medical doctor. Freud was a medical doctor and a neurologist. And many more that I haven't mentioned today. And they're effectively pointing to this connective tissue as if it governs much, as if that's where the action is, as if that's what you've got to do. And yet, if you've participated in any of these things, those of you who have been Rolfed or worked with a Reiki and emotional release therapist, a Pilates instructor, those of you who participate in yoga regularly, understand there is an upgrade. You have to hold your investment to a standard. You have to hold your investment in holistic medicine to a standard. That standard is change your structure. I show you pictures of it. Rolf was the real thing. Picture 4 and picture 5. Those things do occur. I have seen those things, participated in those shifts. People do that. But you've got to know about it. Now you know about it. Hold yourself to those standards. Without judging yourself, of course, because you are busy. There is life, there is day-to-day, there's survival, there's paying your bills, and you can't get to it. So you can't get to it, but at least you know it exists. And that's the key, that you have educational opportunities to know what the real thing is. Because you're going to need the real thing. Because you're going to need to take the real thing to the test of time. Because as we replace the natural connection to the orgone, to the human mechanism, to the true healing capacities, they're going to be competed with. So psychiatry gets reduced to Prozac. So therapeutic massage gets reduced to marginal massage, spa massage. Not marginal, only marginal in the sense of not therapeutic. There were healers, there were doctors that gave their entire life. Rolf walked around. Do you know Rolf walked around with a suitcase? She walked around in a suitcase for 30 years trying to get chiropractors and osteopaths and medical doctors to understand that structure determines function. That through all the hoopla of chiropractic and osteopathic and all these different things, if you couldn't do picture 4 and picture 5, if you couldn't significantly alter a posture, return what you were at 20, and now you're 60 or 70. Return that to the way you looked when you were 20. If you couldn't do that, then you weren't altering structure, and therefore you were not going to alter function. She walked around in a suitcase for 30 years. Reich died in jail, half crazed from the pressures of criticism and nonstop attack. And yet we talk about them today. We hold them in exaltation for their dedication. So what's nutrition? Why do you listen to nutritional radio shows? Why do you spend money on herbs? Why do you, in fact, expect to cure yourself or to help yourself? Because the herbs prep the body for the shifts in structure. Herbs, the power of the herb, make no mistake about it, the power of the herb is to clean the body so the fascia can be successfully manipulated. The power of the herb is that the herb cleans the body to shift the structure, to purge the psyche. I'm going to say it again. The power of the herb, why you spend money on herbs, is to clean the body, because it preps you to shift your structure, to purge your psyche. And when you do, you're at where the muscle meets the bone. I'm going to say it again. The reason you spend what you spend on herbs, the reason you do those cleanses, is to stretch your tendons, to cross-fiber your adhesions, to change the shape and the way you hold your bones, so that you bring up your psyche, those neurotic conditions that are trapped in your body, that are at the root of your illness, so that the muscle begins to fall off the bone, so that you have the experience of bliss through manipulation. So whether you're stretching, whether you're cleansing, whether you're twisting, whether you're just catharting, the body starts to become a chamber. It begins to become a chamber of bliss. Bliss and joy to you. That is where you will find God meeting medicine. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. If this makes sense to you and you need to piece it together, 949-873-2127. 949-873-2127. Let's pursue the jigsaw puzzle together. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.